Hey everybody, Jesse here from Flyers Alley. Make sure you guys go to www.oldcitysports.com, old spelled O-L-D-E. Check out everything we got going on over there, all the awesome pods, all the awesome sponsors, everything we do, our live events when they happen. Check it out. Make sure you guys go to all our sponsors' websites, use the promo codes, do everything you got to do. Check out Flyers Alley, 1:30 p.m. Eastern every Sunday. Later, guys. What's going on, everybody? Jesse here from Flyers Alley, being joined tonight, and hopefully for a while, Dylan Robillard. What's going on, man?
Not much. What's going on with you?
I'm ready to kick this bad boy off. Got Dan Carcillo coming in. We're going to have him come in at some point here. Yeah, I figured we would get here live and get that rolling real quick before we had him jump in. So we already have a comment. Brandon Pauls chimes in and said, what's up, guys? Before he jumps in here, make sure everybody goes and likes us on Facebook, facebook.com/FlyersAlley, and our group, Twitter at FlyersAlleyPod1, and Instagram at FlyersAlley. Go to YouTube for Old City Sports Network. Follow me, Jesse from Delco, Dylan at DylanRobillard_, I think it is.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there it is. And yeah, check us all out for all of our Philadelphia-based stuff. Go to www.oldcitysports.com, old spelled O-L-D-E. Now, we are going to be waiting for Carbon to be jumping in here real quick. So just so everybody knows, we're going to be ripping that, and we're going to be talking about him going up through juniors, talking about all the stuff he's doing with the CTE research and his companies, and you know, kind of what he's been up to post-hockey. And yeah. So it should be a good time. I might be able to rip some of these ad reads real quick, but I feel like if I start doing it, he's gonna jump in, and then that'll be that. So yeah. So Chris Webman chimes in. So excited for this interview, and yeah, this has been like one that a lot of people have been waiting for. Dylan, yourself, as well. So yeah, we'll give him some time and have him come in. I'll make sure that everything is good. This is why I don't go live. This is why I don't do it.
Yeah. Well, better early.
Better be on than not. Corey Welk chimes in. What's up, fellas? And he's still at the work job. I can't believe he's still there. But we will be going. I was telling backstage, we will be going. Me and Corey, Flyers open tonight. Tomorrow against the Blue Jackets, we're going to be that went off. We'll be going doing our pregame, our intermissions, and our postgame. So, yeah, check out that when that happens tomorrow around like 6:30. And, yeah, again, we'll wait for Carbon to jump in here.
Canucks? No, that's opening. That's home opener.
We have Blue Jackets.
Oh, yeah.
And we have down here in the States, we have our watch party for the Flyers versus the Senators at 1 o'clock on Saturday p.m. Eastern. We were going to do a cornhole tournament, but yeah, the weather is not working out for that. So we're just going to drink. We're just going to drink and get stupid. So,
fair enough.
Let's see what we got here. Where's he at? Oh, I guess I'll do some ad reads. Anyway, so make sure you guys go to click on the link in the description for Fanatics. Thing is Alley, and the promo code is ZipSave for 27% off site wide. Also, go to www.righteousfelon.com. Use promo code OCSN for 15% off your jerky contraband. Also, any orders over $50 get you free shipping. Make sure you go to www.seatgeek.com or use the app. And use promo code Old City Sports Network, all one word, for $20 off your first order. We're not going to do that because you're in Canada, and I know that's not something that can be promoted there. And here he is already.
Oh, beauty.
What's going on, man? What's
going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
Oh, I just got two of the four kids down, so feeling good. How are you guys?
I just got my oldest down, so I understand that battle.
Dylan, look at that relic.
Yes, sir.
Behind you. My man.
I'm wearing a Carcillo jersey too. Let's go. I got one on. Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Got to wrap it right. Yeah.
You guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. You sound great. Everything good to go. That's a nice little display you got behind yourself there.
Beauty.
So my grandfather collected all of my trophies, and I never had an office when I lived in Chicago, and now I do. So got to unpack everything. It was pretty cool. Yeah, he saved everything. He's my number one fan.
That's awesome.
Yeah, boys.
We get into it here. I wanted to do something that I like to do when I do the interviews. I want to go all the way back. I want to talk about you starting in juniors, the Milton Merchants, all the way to the Chicago Blackhawks. So if you could kind of just give us a rundown on you deciding you were playing hockey, you coming up through the ranks, obviously we're a Philadelphia pod, your time in Philadelphia, any cool stories in Philly, I know that's a lot to unpack. So I'll jump in there real quick. Dylan has some awesome questions for you as well. So just take us through the Carcillo story.
Sure. Yeah. So grew up in King City, small town, farming town, about 6,000-7,000 people. Everything revolved around the community rink. And I was just really drawn to hockey at an early age. I played double A my whole career, minor league career, which isn't the highest league in Canada, but made the jump to triple A where everybody was getting scouted. My draft year, my OHL draft year, got drafted in the sixth round, and then ended up choosing between going to university, Cornell, RPI, Bowling Green, or going to Sarnia, and ended up just deciding that I wanted to kind of fast track and made a real decision at 14, moved away from home at 16 to pursue that, played under 18s for Canada. Ended up winning gold there and got drafted 73rd overall, I believe, to the Penguins, and played about 3.5 years in their minor league system. And then got traded to Arizona, did 2.5 years there, and then ended up getting traded to Philly for Upshaw. And I remember it was like a really big deal. Everybody was pissed because Upshaw was like a huge fan favorite. And I remember Paul Holmgren just saying, give this guy 3 games and you'll like him. And I was just really happy to be in a market where hockey was really appreciated. The fans were so passionate and it was just amazing. I mean, we had, Carter, Richards, Hartnell, Pronger, Tiemannin, Giroux, young up-and-comer, Van Riemsdyk. It was just a really cool, tight-knit team. And then after my time there, the 2010 run was just pretty amazing. I remember the city was just buzzing and getting in on the last shootout goal. I remember Giroux scored on Lundqvist, and then it was Boucher that saved Jokinen's penalty shot, and we were in, and then we just had an epic run all the way to the finals, coming back 3-0 on Boston, I think was a highlight. Richie's hit on Krejci that broke his arm and just completely turned the series around was a huge kind of momentum shift for us. And, I wish we could have won against Chicago. They had a strong team. Just a lot of really good memories in Philly. Ended up going to Chicago, winning 2 cups there. And my last 4 years in the league, I had, or my last 5 years in the league, I had 4 cracks at the cup, winning twice and losing twice. But pretty a pretty good career, and then, you know, the work really started afterwards, because obviously 164 fights and, you know, thousands of hits, etc. But yeah, really grateful for my time on all the teams, and especially for our time in Philly, for sure.
Yeah, Philadelphia, definitely. A lot of people that I know were very excited for this interview. I was able to pull out of my ass Craig Berube the other day. That was a nice one. He's an absolute beauty. But the thing about Philadelphia, and I said the Chief, I don't know if you ever met Frank Bialowis.
I met him a couple times. He's around. Yeah.
Good friend of mine. The big thing about those type of players is the city's still blue collar, you know, and it's I think now the team that it has it's got a perfect balance of grit, and the young guys have a lot more skill than people are giving them credit for. But I appreciate the hell out of. I don't want to call you guys enforcers, because a lot of people are like, oh, they're enforcers, they're grunts. They do play hockey. Like, it's not, you know, it's. It's not like that, but I appreciate the hell of what you did in Philadelphia. It was, your last name was a household name in my house, so I will commend you on that for sure.
Listen, man, at the end of the day, I've had to do a lot of work on myself and a lot of work to really come back and appreciate, number one, what I was trained to do, because we were ultimately trained to do that, right? When I grew up, I was 4 years old, and we were hitting kids at four in Canada. And the way we got taught the game was to take somebody's will to play away, meaning, you know, you put pressure on them, and through physical force, you make them not want to touch the puck. And eventually, over time, because, you know, there's an 82 game season, but at the end of the day, you have these 7-game series that you have to win, and you really have to lean on other teams to get through that. The game is taught completely differently, but the game is still set up in that same manner. When you get to the playoffs, there's still a lot of that testing of the will and making sure you go through every hit. And yes, obviously you have to score goals, but there's so much that goes into the mentality, the little details of the game. And so, you know, it took me a while to kind of watch the game from a fan's perspective to realize, number one, like, this is MMA on skates, and I get why everybody loved, you know, what we used to do. But, you know, there's a lot of work that I had to do to really realize and appreciate what the coaches taught me coming up. Little attention to detail, the chips outside of the boards, the chips into the zone. Like, these are the things that really add up to winning a game and winning series. So, yeah, it's a little bit different now. But at the end of the day, to get to that cup, like, there's just a ton of sacrifice. There's a ton of pain. There's a ton of suffering. But at the end of that, and on the other side of that, is just... I mean, the feeling that you get to call yourself the best team in the world is unmatched, you know. And we got really close to that in Philly, and the city was just unbelievable, you know, coming through. I lived in Haddonfield, New Jersey, so coming through like the pay stations and just the nice weather. And if I remember correctly, the Phillies were ripping that year too. So everybody was tailgating, and yeah. I think we met the Penguins in the first round. So it was, it was a really special time, man.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, yeah. Like you said, goals sometimes play a big factor. I know you had a big goal in that New Jersey series in 2010, in that overtime goal. I know that lives in my head pretty rent-free, constant. I used to play that in my living room like constantly. But yeah, you guys did sacrifice a lot in that 2010 series. Like, Lappy took a puck to the face. Yeah, it was just like, I was like probably 8 years old that time, but I remember quite a lot of it. And just, I really wish we would have made it to the cup, but it was great watching you score that goal and just be a part of that. Just a big memory for sure. I know
no, that was you guys probably played like ball hockey growing up, right, in the streets, and we did the same thing in Canada. And like at the end of every game, you're like, well, I'm gonna be the guy to end the game, but I want to end the game, you know, in overtime in the Stanley Cup Finals, and I want it to be Game 7 or game. You know, it happened to be the first round, but it was overtime. It was against Marty Brodeur. And I remember that play like it was yesterday, where Richie was just, first of all, a guy like me probably shouldn't have been on the ice, you know, but I think I was having like a really good game, and our coach at the time had a really good knack for putting guys out that could impact the game or that were impacting the game. And, you know, Richie was just whacking. I happened to be in the right place at the right time. And then I got that French sandwich from, you know, Gagne and Giroux and Lapierre. And yeah, I mean, what I don't think enough people appreciate is just how hard it is to win a hockey game against other men that have grown up hoping, wishing, and praying that they could raise that cup, you know, and that's really ingrained in people in Philly, in Chicago, in Detroit, and especially, obviously, in Canada, you know. So it was, yeah, it was something that I'll never forget. It was my only overtime winning goal in a Stanley Cup playoffs, and the fact that we got to celebrate that and I got to be a small part of that run was really, really special.
Yeah, I just remember you looking in like 8 different directions.
No, no idea what to do.
Yeah,
no idea what to do.
On panic.
Right? Yeah, man, it was pretty cool.
You growing up in hockey though, who was the guy you modeled your game after?
Yeah. So it was actually my favorite team was the Flyers, with the orange stanchions and really? The wrecking ball, Lindros, LeClaire. But the guy that I like, it's a great team. The guy that I liked the most was Steve Thomas, when he was on the Leafs, he's just a hound on the puck, constantly just always in the play, always taking the body. Again, like making people pay for playing the game, and just testing how far you're willing to go for the team, for yourself, for the mission. And the mission's always the same. And he was somebody, Doug Gilmore, those guys, and like, but that Philly team was something else. And I just remember like when I would watch those games, the crowd, and you could feel it. It's something else to play for the Flyers, because I mean, when they loved you, they loved you, but they could turn on you in a second in like 2 power plays, And I would always remember sitting on the bench and looking up, fights in the 300 stands all the time, I remember to your question, Jesse, earlier, my brothers were, I forget what game it was, I think it was the first round, but they ended up getting into some type of skirmish in the stands and getting basically brought downstairs to some type of holding room, right? And when they asked for their IDs, my younger brother, gave him the ID, and they saw like my last name on it. And then they asked my older brother, like, well, why didn't you just say that? And they brought them back up to the family room. But just like super intense. And it makes a lot of sense. Those games are expensive to go to. And I grew up in a very blue collar family too. And it's why I played the game the way that I did. Where you appreciate every dollar that's made, you know where it's going to be spent, and you put your effort and your energy behind hometown teams. So But yeah, that was a pretty funny experience when I got into the family, because somebody called me out. I wasn't even half dressed and like, hey, you got to come vouch for your brothers. You know, they still didn't believe them because they had these Canadian IDs. They thought they were fake. So yeah, that was fun.
When I forget when it was, I don't know. I don't know if you were on the team then. Do you remember? I was talking to Berube about this a couple weeks ago, and it's funny to talk about fights in the stands. Do you remember the guy that fell into the penalty box with Domi?
Oh, when I was growing up, absolutely. Yeah.
One of my dad's best friends.
Oh, really?
But it's funny. So we're always sitting down at dinner, and it always comes up. Me and my dad have a couple beers, and all of a sudden, you know, the stories come out, and it's like, okay, we've heard this a million times, but let's hear it again. He's like, oh, I remember when that guy fell in and he gave it to Berube a couple times, or Domi a couple times. I said, that's not how that went down. No, that guy, he's actually a concrete worker too. And I said, Dad, it's not how that happened. I don't think he even touched him. I think he fell on him. But that's how they are, though. Just like you were saying, it doesn't happen very much anymore. It's different era now. But yeah, they were wild back in the day. I can't believe some of the – and when that happened, I couldn't believe that happened.
Yeah, it's like – it's what the game was built on. Again, it took me a long time. So like when I left the game, I didn't leave on my own accord. You know, my last game was actually in Philly when I was on Chicago in 2015. Belomar was a fight with him. That was my seventh concussion. I remember my father-in-law, who's Polish, like was there after the game. I had a big welt. I couldn't look at my phone. I had to, he's a businessman, but I had to go talk to a few of his buddies, and I just wasn't there, you know, and I toughed it out for the run, etc. And it was like, it was a really difficult time for a long time, you know? And so my mission, because a lot of guys kind of they passed away with not understanding the consequences of like concussion, of these hits, of these fights that we were all in. And so that was really difficult for me for the first like 4 or 5 years when I left the game up until like 2019. And I said things in a way very publicly that I don't necessarily regret. I regret the way that I said them, the tone that I said them, because I was able to come, like I now live in Florida. My son, there's YouTube. He sees who I am or who I was. And I'm able to, I went to a game and I saw this different perspective from the game of this exciting, amazing, fast sport. That if we just knew the risk, I would still, and I say this all the time, we would still take the risk, right? And if there was better treatment on the other side, it would just be so much better. It would help guys recover. It would probably help guys play longer, you know, and play better, right? Because the things that help me get better actually hone in cognitive processing, and it's such a fast sport, visual acuity, auditory sensory, hand-eye coordination, balance, all of these things that get messed up when you get hit in the head. And so I think that there's enough awareness out there now in the league. They've made some changes. And I know for like the foundation of the league, or for, you know, really like, I guess our dads, even our dad's dads, you know, they would say like the game is soft now, it's so different, etc. But you know, there still is that grit, because inherently, you know, the guys, like you make a big hit, guys just stand up for each other, because that's what you do, you know. Because again, at the end of the day, when you start the season with these 25 guys, like it's just really, really hard, and you have a bond. There's only what, 750 guys that make the NHL every year. It's a really special bond. And as long as you know the risk going in, you sign the contract, then you know, you also know, hopefully now with the work that I'm doing now, that there's ways to get better, you know. So, but it took me a while to kind of hone that narrative in and to deal with my anger frustration, sadness. And then, you know, for the first time, like probably 2 months ago, I put the skates on and I brought my son the other day on Tuesday to like watch me skate and stuff. And it's like, man, like I can be proud of what I did, like, because I was built to be a weapon, and we weren't educated about the risk. So I can't really feel guilty about the things I did, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously concussion stuff's pretty major. I just had a car crash yesterday, so I'm feeling the effects of a concussion right now, actually. So, yeah.
Get some omega-3s. Mm. So, like, eat salmon, you know? Obviously hydrate, right? Watch your sugar intake, okay? Your alcohol intake. There's things that can connect your brain and flush out inflammation. So what I'll say, Dylan, is CBD, okay, which is a derivative of the cannabis plant, which is non-psychoactive, so it doesn't make you high. It's patented by the US government. It was patented in 1999 against neuronal death. Okay. So when you hit your head, these neurons, they die, right? So if you can have that now on board, because when neurons die, they secrete other chemicals that kill other neurons, then you can protect your brain against damage. And then there's mushrooms like lion's mane, reishi, cordyceps, chaga, agaricon, turkey tail. These are all legal, completely legal mushrooms that you can get at Whole Foods. So you start integrating some of these. Absolutely. So lion's mane looks like a brain. When you guys look it up, lion with apostrophe S, mane, M-A-N-E, and it increases something that's called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. So you can start using this stuff, right, to support not only when you get injured, but like as we age, right? So these are the types of things that I started to learn. And these things are full spectrum medicine. These are not synthetic. These don't have any real side effects. Like, they just help support your everyday life. So look into that stuff, and I'll email you guys some of this information, but awesome, definitely, yeah. And it'll help you recover, and you're a young man. So you should like be on these things that don't have any side effects, that aren't synthetic, for as long as you can, you know? And that's really what helped. Some of these things is what helped save my life.
Yeah.
We should definitely send some to Skylar as well. So Dylan is one of the newest guys I'm part of the media with the Flyers. And he's one of them. And then my other photographer he hit a deer in Scranton the other day on his way back from practice from the Flyers. I think that he got a concussion.
Shout out to Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, Scranton. That's where I started my AHL career.
Yeah.
With the Penguins. Crazy. Yep. My friend, Sam actually had a question for you about your time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was your time like in the AHL?
Oh man, it was pretty amazing. It was a coal mining town, a small town, but it was like a brand new rink. It had been there for, I think, like 3 or 4 years already. And the whole town seemed to be started getting built around this rink. And it was sold out every night, like 8,000, 9,000 people. Dennis Bonvy was there. So they would, you know, and they'd have signs like, give blood, you know, fight Bonvy. And it was amazing, you know. My time there was a lot of fun. I was there for a short time. It felt like a long time, but I was 25th. Yeah, it was a great town, you know. I still have some friends from like the Arena Bar and Grill that still message me and follow my journey, and that was, you know, when I turned pro. So I turned pro at 19, as soon as I graduated high school, and I went to go, I went right into Wilkes-Barre and started playing in the Penguins, you know, farm system. So that was a really special time. Family came down, wasn't too far from Canada where I grew up. And yeah, that place will always always hold a special place in my heart for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I got a guy in the crowd, actually, another person. Sorry, we do these live and you know, people.
Oh, dude, it's great. I'm glad that you guys do it so that you can see these questions in real time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this great. Bill Kearney. My son plays AAA hockey and gets concussions. Can I get that list as well?
Yeah, Bill, absolutely.
If you give me the list, I can, you know.
I'll shoot you guys. We're on email, right? Yeah. And I'll shoot you guys. Obviously, the things that I talked about are legal things. These are things that can go to help support your everyday lifestyle, right? When you stack some of these mushrooms, CBD, like I said, you can get an isolate. So if I didn't see his name, but if that guy's son doesn't want any THC, right? Because full spectrum means a very, very small amount of THC and all of the other cannabinoids that come in the cannabis plant, you can actually just isolate CBD and just give your son that. So there's no psychoactive properties at all. But absolutely, I'll send you guys the full list. And you know, when you're of age, right? Then there's other things that we can do, right? There's these medicines that are coming through the FDA that have already been validated as breakthrough therapy designation, which are natural and have the potential to connect brain hemispheres that have been shut down due to trauma. And that's also what I've used. I've used all of these things in conjunction with a lifestyle of healthy diet, of exercise, again, of discipline, making the right decisions. And I'm not an angel, right? I still like to have fun, and you can. But if you're doing the right things most of the time, then you can do some wrong things some of the time, right? And still live your life, because, you know, especially people from Philly, I'm sure that, you know, I'm not some messiah, and there's things that we still like to do. We still like to have fun. So I would implore people to, and I'll send you this as well. There's a website called mushroomreferences.com. And if parents are out there with kids, or if people are interested in understanding the potential of some of these healing powers of these full spectrum mushrooms, it lists thousands of clinical studies that have been done with these mushrooms, and it shows you the potential for what it can do for the brain and the body.
Yeah,
we'll give you a chance at the end to push everything. And one of my questions at the end is going to be centered around what you're doing now that you're out of hockey too. So cool. I know this guy's got a really, really good one for you. So
is there a Flyers game on right now?
Not right now.
Tomorrow.
Hey, home opener or what?
It's away. It's a Columbus, but it's the first game of the season.
Okay. Yeah, home opener is the 17th, I want to say.
Oh, what a shit show in Columbus, huh?
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I know you played with Ray Emery quite a bit throughout your career. Mm. He had a big factor on a lot of people, including myself. I met him, I don't know, probably 7-8 years ago now. Yeah, such an amazing guy. Just can you go through like some of your favorite memories with him, what he meant to you, and just kind of your experience with him in Chicago and Philly?
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't get talked about often enough, and you know, thank you for bringing him up in his name, because you know, the Egyptians had an old saying, as long as you continue to bring up the name of those who've passed, they live forever, you know. And so Ray was somebody that everybody just loved to be around. And he treated the stick boy to the waiter to the valet the exact same way that he would treat you, Dylan, or you, Jesse, or me as a teammate. And he came from a really amazing family. And I remember meeting Ray for the first time, like when I was in the AHL, And then I had, you know, the pleasure, and I was lucky enough to share time with him, to share years with him in the NHL. And he was the consummate pro, worked extremely hard at the game, and he was him and Corey Crawford. I mean, without those guys in the lockout season, the season that they put together, we wouldn't have been in the position to win the cup in 13. His passing affected a lot of people. It affected a whole city, you know, in Hamilton, Ontario, where he was from. And I learned a lot of things from him, just on how to be, you know, kind, how to like dance and laugh, even though I'm a terrible dancer, how to, you know, look people in the eye when you're talking to them, say what you feel. I would always tell Ray like that I loved him, you know, and he'd be like, shut the fuck up, man. Like, what are you talking about? You know, but you could tell, I could tell that, you know, that he just knew that, but he didn't have to say it because, you know, I felt it and a lot of other people felt it that were constantly around him. And I miss him and I wish he was still here. You know, and yeah, he, yeah, I mean, there's not much more to say, you know. I could go on forever, but you guys don't want to see me bust out the tissues. So, you know, like I would say that if his parents ever hear this or anybody that, you know, He was everybody that came in contact with that man loved him. And he was just a really, really special guy. Really special guy. And he's missed. He's missed every day.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing him up, Dylan.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, the jersey hanging up still. Like, I don't know if you remember, but I met you in like, I probably think it was Red Deer or something, maybe it was Okotoks or something, but you did the thumbs up foundation speech.
Oh yeah.
For that
stuff. You were there?
Yeah. Yeah. And then you saw my dad and I's, and I had my Emory jersey and you pointed it out like immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And I just remember you being like so shocked that I had it and you were just like so thankful for it. And yeah, I just remember that moment and meeting Emory and meeting you and talking to him. Yeah, it was just so genuine. Never forget those times for sure.
Yeah, man. It's just a really, really special guy, man. A really special guy.
I don't want to cut your face off with this. I'll just read it from the side. This is our,
that was a long one.
Yeah. So this is the Nights in the Alley is how I like to do the interviews for Flyers Alley. Flyers Alley is usually Sundays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. My cousin is my co-host, and he said, I have a few things to say. One, I've been a big support of CBD and trying to get people to not look at it as a bad drug so people were disappointed and frustrated about it. Two, I gave my son the nickname you have, Car Bomb. Very, 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 that fits him very well. I didn't know that. I wish
he's
you
an all, animal. He's a little animal.
He's an absolute. Me and his dad grew up together. We weren't like you said. We weren't angels either.
Mm-hmm.
Three. I wish all the best with the path of life that you're on. So it's a big long one, but
beauty man. Yeah, tell him who was that from.
My co-host Wade.
Wade.
Yeah.
Wade. Yeah. Thank you, man. Appreciate the kind words and all the best to you and your family. And your boy.
So I think now I want to give you the opportunity to literally tell everybody what you're doing with the CBD, with the CTE, with everything that you're promoting, everything your company's, everything that you're doing right now. because I know we used to, my network, Old City Sports Network, when we first started, Cote actually sponsored us with Body Check. Mm-hmm. And I know that for a while, you know, kind of the same things, you guys had kind of the same vision and such. So if there's, you know, any way you could get into the, exactly what it is that you're doing outside of hockey now.
So Riley was the one who reached out to me when I was in my darkest place. So it was about, I was about 4.5 years into my retirement. I retired in 2015 at the age of 30. I was dealing with early onset dementia. Doctors were trying to diagnose me with CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. It's a diagnosis that is pretty much like a death wish, because you can only definitively diagnose it when you die post-mortem and they take your brain out and they cut it up. And so I didn't want to accept it, but I was definitely dealing with slurred speech, headache, head pressure, insomnia, impulse control issues, short-term, long-term memory loss, appetite loss, weight loss, anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation. I went to stroke rehabilitation centers, CTE brain banks, did vestibular training, ocular training, because your balance gets messed up, memory training. But these clinics, these 5-day intensive things, cost $15,000-$20,000 a week. Nothing's covered by insurance. So I then started to move away a little bit from that, and I went into holistic treatments like float tanks, self-deprivation tanks, hyperbaric chamber, cranial sacral, which is like decompressing the brain. And I did like some Moxa acupuncture, and I, you know, started testing my hormones, started doing hormone replacement therapy, etc. And I just got to a point where I was 4.5 years in, and I was still obviously like very much attacking the league and living in this victim mindset of woe is me. The league did this to me. They didn't educate us. My friends are dead, and I want to tear everything down, or at least highlight, you know, but like it had a tone of a lot of anger. And I got to a point where I thought I tried everything. So I was losing hope for treatments. And so I started to, at that point I had 3 kids, and I started to make plans to unburden my family, because when you have traumatic brain injury, you can tell that people when they're around you, because you're so uneasy and you're so angry and you're so on edge and you can snap in a second, that they didn't want to be around me. And I'm like, well, I feel like now I'm affecting my kids' lives, and I felt like it might be better if I wasn't here, you know. So I started to make those plans to leave this earth. And then Riley saw that I was, you know, I guess progressively getting darker online, because I was always advocating for what worked or what didn't, or what I thought could work for people. And he invited me to this farm, and I got there. I was about to learn about like CBD and stuff, and they surprised me with a mushroom ceremony, a psilocybin mushroom ceremony, the active ingredient, magic mushroom, shrooms, whatever you want to call it. And I said, well, great. Like, let me go grab the keg or some beer and like a bunch of smokes. And they're like, no, this isn't something where you're going to listen to music. This is a very high dose. It's very therapeutic. And you're going to meet head on the problems that you're having in your life, and you're going to have to deal with them. And that's why you take a really high dose, because it's just going to show you, this medicine is going to show you. And you're not going to be able to run away from it. And I was like, man, I'm like, I want to be here for my kids and for my family. And I don't really want to go through with what I was thinking of going through with. So I'm here for it. Like, you know, let's do it. So we fasted for 4 or 5 hours, and we took, you know, 5+ grams, and it was the most difficult 3 hours of my life by far. Because what this medicine tends to do is if you're suffering from depression or anxiety or PTSD or whatever you're suffering, it'll show you why. And then afterwards, after you deal with it and you have these revelations and these hallucinations, you then start to integrate them into your life, right? And so it did that for me. And I woke up the next morning. I won't go into too much detail about what actually happened, but I remember feeling the way I should, you know, a little bit like I was like 15 again, where I was like, oh, I actually want to get up. I have a little bit of energy. Whoa, I want to call my wife. I want to see my kids. I want to get back home. I want to book a flight tomorrow, but I was there for like another week. And then I called my wife and I remember she's like, whoa, she's like, you're talking completely different today. You're not slurring your speech.
One day.
Yeah, man. After I woke up and I went outside that day with no glasses on, that would trigger a headache immediately. No headache. And I was like curious again. And I was like, well, how do I grow this stuff? How do I learn about CBD? I had a zest for life again. And over the course of the week, pretty much everything either lessened in intensity, and then over the course of, you know, 60 days, it started to fade away. And so I was completely enamored, obviously. Then I went into the research of what had happened, right? And because I was with all these medical professionals for 5 years, and I was listening to what they were saying, we're going to diagnose the area of your brain that's shut down due to trauma. There's 6 areas of your brain. There's only one area that's really shut down. You know, and then we're going to wake it back up with these exercises. I thought, wow, that's amazing. Well, I did that because I saw a study with a placebo brain and a brain on psilocybin under fMRI, and it was connecting all these right and left brain hemispheres. And I'm like, well, I did that with, you know, $10 worth of mushrooms.
Right.
And in a very, you know, controlled setting. I knew that nothing got fixed in 5 hours because I was reading a lot of PubMed papers of how I could fix how I was. So we made a regimen over the course of time with some CBD, minimally processed, meaning, you know, it's not an isolate, it's a full spectrum, it's a kief. I'll send you guys more information about that. And 6 months, so I tested my brain before I left, tested my brain after, and I had no abnormalities left on my brain after 6 months. And then my blood work was completely clear. And then I was like, well, you know, I'm an advocate and people are looking to me. This thing that I did was in a decriminalized city, which there was only one at the time, which was Denver. So how do I advocate for something that the government has deemed illegal and that could get people put in jail? So just at that time, there was two companies that the FDA designated psilocybin, which is the active ingredient in magic mushrooms that I took, as breakthrough therapy designation for major depressive disorder. So it could wake people back up. And so I started to feel a little bit more comfortable. I got integrated into the community. I started to do lion's mane and reishi and cordyceps on a daily basis. And then, I mean, you know, it's not that simple, but then fast forward, here I am 5.5 years later. I definitely have CTE in my brain, on my brain. Do I think I'm going to die from it? No. Alzheimer's runs in my family, but I'm being extremely proactive about how I'm living my life, you know, and the things that I'm putting into my body. And so these things that we talked about very briefly at the beginning of the podcast and now have completely changed my life, completely saved my life. And I've witnessed about 500 or 600 people that they've done the exact same thing firsthand. You know, so that's, you know, there's a saying, like, when you're given something to keep what you have, you freely give it away. And so now I'm using my platform, even though it was because I played a sport, I have this obligation now. And to just talk about this and to give people the information. Like, I don't want people to blindly listen to me. I want people to go to John Hopkins on their website and view a study. There's a bunch of studies that there's one in particular, the first one they did, where it takes away people's end-of-life anxiety from terminally ill cancer patients. So if it can do that for somebody that knows they're going to die, that nobody can explain, nobody knows where we're going, then imagine what it can do for people that are suffering from depression or anxiety or PTSD or these other things like smoking cessation, etc. So yeah, that's, you know, I've created companies out of it, because when I was in that ceremony, what it told me that I was doing, this medicine speaks to you. And it said, you can keep highlighting what's wrong and you can keep waking up every day and being angry and frustrated and sad. And these guys are still going to play. They're still going to do the same thing. Or you can leave that alone for right now and you can get better and you can show people that you're an example, a better example. And then when they get out and they're sick, because the system's going to continually make people sick, then you can help them. So I started to create businesses out of it. I started to advocate for it politically, with policy in states. And then on the federal level, I've done a couple congressional briefings. And that's now the mission that I'm on. You know? So, yeah.
I got to admit, I messaged you before I was in the meet. I think even before I was even doing podcasts or anything, I came across a video, I think, that you made, and I just stumbled across it again the other day. I think it was a video that was showing everything that you were doing, and I got to admit, I 100%. I'm a crier. I'm not gonna lie.
I am too. Yeah, join the club.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Well, now I have two girls, so like I'm on my forklift at work, watching videos of them being bored. I'm crying my
eyes out. I got three, man. Yeah, man. Isn't that the best?
I absolutely started.
What are your girls?
Oh my god, it's amazing. I have my oldest is she'll be 7 in February, Charlotte Ryan Bell, and then Mackenzie Grace Bell is 3. And nice. Absolute spitfire. I wish I didn't play much hockey. I played I guess you'd say pickup games, just like, you know, grew up my dad was a roofer. So, you know, it was, you know, someone picks on you, you know, you handle the thing, don't hit someone first, but finish it type of thing. So, didn't get the chance to do it on ice, but, I wish I did. I was kind of close with Cote for a little bit, and I listened to a lot of his stories. I'm pretty close with Settlemyer, so I've heard a lot of crazy stories. And listening to you right now, it's actually making me think a little bit differently about it. I mean,
So the league clearly held information from us. And of course, in your head and in Philly people, they're going to think, well, didn't you think that fucking punching somebody in the head was a bad idea? And it was like, if I think about it, for sure. But I didn't think that like 3 concussions makes you 80% more susceptible to neurodegenerative disease like Parkinson's and ALS. And if they knew this, just tell us the risk, you know, and then if you tell us the risk, we're still going to sign on the dotted line, but then try to treat us, right? There's things that you can be proactive about, even right now, that they're still not doing. But I'm not going to get into that because that I'm not in that world anymore, you know?
Yep.
And I don't want to be. My son, he likes watching hockey, etc., and we'll play, but I'm on the other side, right? Like, guys know I'm at a pro skate in Florida. They know where to find me, and we've helped a lot of guys, you know, and that's it. That's where I'm going to live. You know, so, you know, if guys are listening to this, like former hockey players, you know, am I angry at the NHLPA? Of course, because they keep pushing booze and all these like neurodegenerative things when they could be supporting these things that wake people back up, that, you know, when guys leave the league, man, You're completely broken. You never leave on your own accord, even if you think you do. So let's help these guys with some better things, right? So that's it. And, you know, I'll just stay in my lane, you know, and Riley does the same thing. He's helping a lot of guys, you know, so.
Yep.
Yeah. And you don't just have to be a hockey player. You know, you can be, and you don't have to be sick also, right, to access this medicine. If you're like a high operating executive, we work with a ton of those guys who want to access different parts of their brain, want to be more creative, want to problem solve. You know, the amazing
thing. I want to do all of that.
Yeah, man. Well, it could help you too.
I wrestled for a while and I played football and I didn't do the, I like I said, I wasn't able to do the hockey thing.
Oh, buddy.
But I want to be able to do all the creative stuff too.
I've got two tears in both ankles. I've got no PCL on my right knee. I've got six MCL tears on my right knee. I've got ACL reconstructive surgery on my left. I've got, you know, I've done my MCL on my left five or six times. I've had an arthroscopic hip surgery on my left hip. I've had my abdomen stapled back to my pelvis. I've got no left labrum up here, numerous neck tears, three teeth gone, three broken noses, seven concussions, and I wake up every day and I am not in pain. I'm what? Sore from work. Dude, I'm telling you, I'm sore from working out, but I'm not in pain because I use these things and it's been almost 5.5 years now and they continue to work every day. They continue to flush out inflammation, let alone the creativeness and the things that I'm able to do with multitasking and those things and different businesses. And I think at the end of the day, Jesse, it'll make you a better dad. It'll make you more patient when you come home from work. It'll make you more present in the moment, you know, because we all have these moments and I still have these moments. Like I said, I'm not an angel where we snap and we're like, damn it. Like,
wish I didn't do that.
Yeah. Yep. It's like, you know, and that's a moment to step back. Right. And be like, all right, what's going on? Is it stress? Is it a conversation I have to have with my wife? Do I need to eat? When's right. The last time I drank 8 ounces of water? Like, it's like simple stuff, you know, but we tend to get caught up in this race and we just need to slow it down. This stuff allows you to slow it down and pick a petal of a flower, you know, and be like, this is pretty nice, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah, especially having kids too. I mean, you got to admit, once the kids came out, it was like they're six, they're seven, they're, you know, they're this, they're that. I'm like, oh my god, slow down a little bit.
It goes fast. Luckily, right? I've lived a couple lives already. You know, I've everyone told me about that. Like said, your career is going to go fast. I was like, sure, buddy. You know, I'm going to be playing till I'm 40 and 10 years goes by and I'm out. Right. And so now, like when I have my kids and everyone's like, enjoy them, you know, cause it's going to go by. And I'm like, damn right, I'm going to enjoy them, you know? And then on top of like everything that I'm doing, living in the moment, trying to as best I can, discipline, making a gratitude list every day, which is like a discipline in itself, understanding and acknowledging how amazing my life is, but also working towards making it better, not thinking of how shitty my life is. And then can I do something else? Just acknowledge I love my life, my family, my kids. I'm grateful for everything, even the suffering and the pain. And then, but also too, I want more. I always want more. We're human beings. You know, that's what we do, you know? So, I hope, you know, I hope that helps, like, you know, with that type of mentality. And anybody can do it. You know, you guys, like anybody, Dylan can do it. You can do it. Your buddy can do it listening to this. My buddy next door. Like, you know, you don't need to, like, win Stanley Cups to, like figure that anybody can do it. You can change in an instant. You know, yes, you can watch this phone and demon scroll through stuff, but are you demon scrolling through things that like make you better, where you're reading different types of philosophies and stuff, or are you just, you know, watching some guy jump off a bridge because it's like, oh, is he gonna hit the water? You know, like, but and that stuff is fun every once in a while, but yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I got, so I throw this one towards everybody, because it's a, I stump a couple people with it. I don't, something tells me I don't think I'm gonna stump you with this one. What does, if you could give advice, 2023 Daniel Carcillo could give advice to 2001 Daniel Carcillo, what would it be?
Oh,
seems to be the same thing. Yeah. I think Ruby was like, "Oh, that fucking guy." I was like,
"Don't do it." You know, don't do it. No, that's a tough question for me because I'm like, I'm in such a good place in my life that I'm so. I really am like really grateful for everything that's happened, the good, the bad. The last 2 years of my life, man, I've been by far and away the most difficult 2 years of my life. Because, you know, with business and these things that you start, that's a whole nother game. And you just have to learn these rules, right? You got to learn the rules of the FDA. You got to learn the rules of the capital market. You got to learn how to be beholden to shareholders. You got to learn these things. And there's a lot of transition with my family where we moved from Chicago to Florida. And I wouldn't fucking change anything. I really wouldn't because I got out of it. I didn't think I would. Like there were times where it got really dark. You know, and maybe I should have told people about that, but I'm in a very different mindset today because I lived in this victim mindset where I'm sick and I'm constantly sick. Oh, I have anxiety, feel bad for me. I have depression, I have TBI, like people should cater to me. And I'm not there anymore. I'm trying to empower people now to see that these things that I've learned about, you know, you get diagnosed by a questionnaire by a doctor that reads it in a book so that he can prescribe you a thing that's on patent by a company that pays him the more that he prescribes. So I'm grateful that I was able to get healed and that I'm still here and that I'm grateful for you guys for, you know, carrying the message, inviting me on here and for anybody that's ever said anything nice about me on my social media and stuff, like, you know, thank you. And yeah, man, I feel like we're just getting going, you know. It's like the first 4 or 5 years of my new life. So yeah,
that's great. And like I gotta thank you for coming on. It
yeah, for sure.
The scheduling was, you know, just the
all good. it was on me and I'm sick, I'm so under the weather right now, but I'm like, I couldn't, you know, because of the scheduling, and that was on me. I just got it wrong in my calendar. So I'm glad that we did this, and if we want to circle up again in the near future, let's do it again.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll definitely have you back on again. I mean, do you pay attention to Flyers at all now, or
no?
Why would you watch that? Why?
Well, why I don't do that. No, dude, I just don't. My I mean, if it's on, I have ESPN Plus, so like we get every game. And now my son, he's 8. He's got this roller hockey gang here in Florida, and like they got YouTube, so they figured out who I am. And you know, he's like, well, now it makes sense that I was like a 6-month-old, and you had me on pucks and my baby picture and all this stuff. And so I'm sure we're gonna be watching games. But what's the forecast? What does the team look like?
Well, I mean,
a little bit more pain or what?
I'm the most optimistic person on the face of the earth. I've loved the Flyers since my dad showed me it when I was younger. So I mean, I live in and bleed orange and black. So, I think it's gonna be good.
All right, and Dylan.
I mean,
that wasn't too convincing, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, Dylan? We're heading in the right direction. We're getting there. hopefully back to the cup one day. So
I just fucking love hockey so much. I just, even if they're losing, I'm still in. I just don't. Yeah.
Dude, it's the fucking greatest sport on earth, you know? And you don't need, you don't need people to like fully understand it. But if you ever play it or you go watch a game in like the first 10 rows on the glass, you're like, whoa, what the fuck is this? You know? What is this? OG fans like me lost it for years. I'm back now. We got Boosh, but who's Boosh? Who's that?
Boucher. Well, they did. I mean, they picked up a lot of former Flyers. Like LeClaire's in there now, and they got Todd Fedoric is on the radio.
Yeah, dude,
which is awesome.
Fridge is awesome. Fridge. Oh, dude, he. So I got traded to Arizona Coyotes, and Fridge was there with his family, and then my two brothers moved down. Because I was on an island because either people were either married with kids or they were like 18 and they didn't want to go out, like Turris and Mueller and all these. Okay. Like, huh. So I was alone. So I brought my boys down and we were at his house, you know, every day with his family. He took us in and Todd Fedoric is a special dude, man. Really special dude.
Yeah,
so, yeah, it's good to see. And Danny Breers, he's a smart kid, you know.
They got Jonesy too. I mean, I you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you know, I'll take a little dig at Jonesy because he's taking a few at me, but it's great they got a broadcaster in management role. You know, I'm sure he's going to do really well.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want, I mean, I'll keep in contact if that's okay. And yeah, the mid season, I'm 100% bringing you on. Everybody would love to see you again anyway. So.
Okay.
But yeah, again, thanks so much for coming on. We're gonna wrap this bad boy up. We went over an hour. But awesome stuff. Dylan, thanks for this is your first one with me. So
Dylan's a staple. Dylan's a staple. Dude, how could you not be with that fucking room? What is going on? Jesus. Let me ask these, are those Carcillo jerseys always up or just for this show? Or do you cycle them out?
Be honest.
I cycle them out. I cycle them out. Yeah.
My man. Yeah. Well, thank you for putting them up.
Yeah, for sure.
Those are cool to see.
I forgot what I was going to say, but yeah, I absolutely bring you back on.
Wrap it up. Bring it out.
Get this thing out. And, we'll see everybody tomorrow night. We're doing if you have Facebook, we'll be on Twitter. We'll be on YouTube as well. Covering the Flyers first game, pregame, intermissions, and postgame. So if you're not busy, but probably busy guy.
You guys gotta send me this video. I'll clip some of it up and I'll post on my social so more people see it. And let's do it again mid season. Only if Dylan's co-host though.
Oh, absolutely. I think he's gonna join me with Doug Sullivan in a couple weeks. So
perfect.
We'll do one of them. He will be all here. Right, so, with that being said, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Recovery mode. All right.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. We're going to email you about all that stuff, those supplements and too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Email me and then you can put all of like the links and everything that I said in the like actual YouTube posting, like in the body.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. Absolutely. Thanks again. We will see you hopefully mid season.
Okay, fellas. See you guys.
Later.